Love is the Law, still in hour three of the Lori and Julia show. And I'm going to introduce you to Lori, the star of the November 1st, 2001 episode 257 of To Tell the Truth. I've done a little bit of research, but that's about as far as I can get.
Okay, so it was November 1st.
That's when it aired.
That's according to the Body Perks Facebook page.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a Facebook page?
I was surprised to find it.
Yeah,
too.
We do. I mean, it's up there. It's
We don't own our bodyperks.com anymore because to buy it back, it's going to cost us like 10 grand.
Yeah.
We lost it.
Julia, I mean, we've got Baby Got Brown Nipples to give away. And Perky and Pink, but really underneath clothing, it doesn't really matter. It's just like wearing a padded bra. No one needs to know
perfect.
What color your bra
People don't know. Rocco, have you ever seen the nipples in action?
I feel like I've seen them around the office here.
Julia.
I don't think I've ever...
They're perfect.
They are a perfect
couple. I think someday we need... I know you guys have been talking about it for 14, 15 years here, but
18.
Someday we need to just deep dive this. I mean, this is amazing.
We will tell the story someday.
You were on what game shows to tell the truth and...
I've got a secret. And that was a classic LA weekend for Lo J.
Access Hollywood Extra. They filmed this in New York.
They did.
Oxygen.
And is
they
this
came to our house.
Radio? Like this?
This is before radio.
So it got you a radio career. You guys are probably going to be in the Minnesota Radio Hall of Fame someday.
This is what
and
got
it's
us
all
the
because
career.
Of these fake nipples that I've never seen another human being wear in my life.
I think. And this is, we made the whole world talk about nipples. So that's why we felt confident that surely someone would give us, well, once we realized TV wasn't going to happen, we were like, what about radio? And we're like, how could someone not want to hire us? Look at that. We made the whole world talk about nipples and it's before the damn internet. I mean, that was it.
We will do a deep dive on this someday with pictures.
And people wore these. I mean, they still do today.
Well, we got knocked off by the biggest lingerie fashion forms.
Thank you.
The largest lingerie accessory company.
Mm-hmm.
It was like we were the story of the little engine that could. Because let me tell you, Rocco, people laugh at you when you have an idea.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a patent. I have a patent in my name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to get a patent. It takes a long time. What we didn't realize is that when it's patent pending, anyone can
knock you off, rip you off.
And that's what a lot of people, do. They look for people who haven't done any of their intellectual property.
That's not true. It was someone who was wanted to, they're like, this is a great idea in our lane. And we want to figure out, because they told us they were going to private label them.
Yeah.
Au contraire.
We just wanted your nipples so we could send it to our factory in China while we were making them in Mendota Heights in the good old USA.
A. Woods Rubber. Shout out to A. Woods Rubber. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a good story. We'll share it someday again. I feel like...
Oh my gosh. I always feel like questions.
We talked about it so much for
Rocco,
so long.
I used to, and like my dearest dream was like, Julia, this could be a movie. It could be a flipping movie.
Ryan Lambert did...
A treatment, and we've talked about it, and... Blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it could be a movie just because of because when we first started all this, they could, I mean, you know.
It was before the internet.
Yeah, but we were like in our early 30s and I was like 38 and so it was just like the age range for the actresses could go it could be a 30-year thing. So from a producing acting perspective, it's got meat on the roll. But anyway, because it's just such a funny story.
It is a funny story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about it because
we were sick of it. Well, we talked about it nonstop for a long time.
Listeners out there.
No, we will do it.
That are like, what? I'm sure you have your diehards.
Right.
But I think we need to supplement with pictures. Because we'd almost have to
do it like a little stories here and there. Because there's so many good ones, Rock.
Yeah, and you have photos of all these things.
Yes, we do.
Some with photographic proof, some is photographed in our memory, depending on the memory, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll be there for that. I want to hear the recap.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Rocco. Okay. We'll do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. By the way,
yes,
speaking
dear.
Of movies, this might be one of the best ensembles in recent memory that's being announced for a movie that hasn't been made yet, but it's the casting is done. It's Adam McKay. Do you guys remember seeing that movie Spotlight?
Of course.
The Boston Globe?
Right.
So about good. Yes, mm-hmm. Tom Hanks was mm-hmm. in it.
Liev Schreiber.
It was an amazing movie. Yep. And Adam McKay has made some other stuff. I can't think of it right now. But so the movie, it's going to be made for Netflix. It's called Don't Look Up. And here are just, I mean, this is a list, okay? It's like he basically, not since Ocean 11 have we had this kind of co-star. So we have Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Blanchett, Jonah Hill, Timothée Chalamet, Ariana Grande, Matthew Perry are just some of the people in this movie. And this don't look, and apparently the big thing why they haven't announced this yet was McKay wanted Leonardo. He wants Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence in a movie together. And Leonardo is committed to doing the Scorsese film, yes. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes, which is a great story.
Great story. It'll be an incredible movie.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
And so anyway, it follows, I'm not sure that I like the topic, but because I like the filmmaker and I like the A-list, would they sign on? Listen to this description.
All right.
Follows two low-level astronomers who embark on a media tour to warn mankind of an approaching asteroid that will destroy the Earth.
Okay, I hate this. No, I hate anything with space and sky, galaxies.
We already have the corona destroying. I'm just like, oh. Rocco, how do you feel about that description?
Yeah, you know.
You know?
Yeah.
But such look at the people that have agreed to sign on.
Well, there's got to be more to it, Lori, because this scene's, you know.
That is the elevator pitch, Julia. This is how the movie get made. You know, this is how you need one sentence to describe your movie.
I wouldn't buy it.
Okay.
I'm not buying it. I mean, really.
But maybe we'll be ready by the time this movie comes out to go ha 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 and laugh about the time when we were all didn't know what the hell was going on in this dumpster fire of a world. You know what I mean?
Maybe we'll, wait.
That was so 2020.
That is so funny.
And maybe we can laugh at an asteroid in 2022. But right now,
we're not laughing.
Okay. All right. How about this one? Now, here's the other side of it. Okay. Ridley Scott. Amazing movie maker, you know, yes. Gladiator and, you know, so many good ones. He is going to direct Joaquin Phoenix, who, of course, they know each other from Gladiator.
We know this one in Napoleon.
In the Napoleon thing. Okay.
I'm here for this one because I don't, I don't know.
Our historical fiction.
Right? And if there's a good. Napoleon sounded like he was an interesting cat and a half.
Very much so. Uh-huh. They could explore it in many ways.
Yes,
the Empress
could.
Josephine and their frisky love life.
Yes. The fashions.
War, the fashion, the war stuff. The
little man syndrome.
Yeah. I think so.
I think it could be fun. I totally see this one kind of working.
This one could be excited
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I can.
So, okay, so because he's like Ridley is finishing up the last duel in Ireland.
Oh, yes.
Which she's working with, is it Ben Affleck and Matt Damon?
Yes, it is them.
God, Ridley Scott is kind of, he's an amazing director. That guy really has done a lot of our favorite movies. If you Google
Can you
him.
Name one?
Well, I just did. I said Alien, right? Gladiator.
I hated Alien. I love Gladiator.
Yeah, I mean, he's
did you
done
hate
TV
Alien
shows.
Because it scared you? Or
yeah, I never saw it, but people loved it.
Oh, well, then how can you hate it?
Because I'm not going to see it.
You would like it.
Blade Runner.
Yeah,
Blade Runner.
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Black Hawk Down.
He's done.
The Martian. These are good.
Yeah, he's done a million movies. You just don't realize it.
I do like to. I don't go to a lot of movies, but usually when there's a big sci-fi movie like the new Blade Runner or the Martian, stuff like that.
I like the Martian. Like,
yes, I'm all in. I want to go to IMAX. I want to see it huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these sound pretty good.
And then you probably talked about this yesterday.
We did.
That Hillbilly Elegy, the trailer with Glenn Close. And
we didn't.
Oh, Amy. Adams.
I didn't want to talk about it because I don't like the title. I don't want to talk about it. I chose not to talk about a lot of things when
finish,
you were gone.
I didn't finish that book because it was so damn depressing. And here they're pairing the two actresses who've been snubbed the most by the Oscars, Glenn Close and Amy Adams, are in what I call poor porn. So that they can get their, one of them might get an Oscar for being, you know, great and just a so-so crappy
this
movie.
Is poor porn. It's a new feature.
No, but that's kind of
what sounds awful.
I mean, did you see how they look and everything?
Yeah, I don't like it, Lori.
Yeah, I know it. So anyway, but these two women, Amy Adams and Glenn Close, are by most people, you know, we'll say the most overlooked Oscar. They've been nominated
a lot.
Remember Glenn Close that last round when we thought for sure she won the SAG?
She was going to win for being the wife of the man who faked the Pulitzer. She did all of his writing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So anyway, so you girls didn't talk about, did you talk about Bella Hadid?
Rocco, you're just going to be a girl now.
Us girls, did you talk about Bella Hadid?
No, because I don't care.
You don't care about her dating Jack Nicholson's grandson, Duke?
I didn't know that.
Well, see, you got to read. Julia just sees Bella Hadid and then her eyes drop off of the story.
No, as most people do.
No, Julia. Listen, it's kind of, I kind of like the old and the new Hollywood, you know, sort of. But yeah, apparently she is dating him. And Duke had a little role in a movie I know you didn't see because it was scary, Us.
I did too see that movie. No, I'm thinking about a different one.
Yeah, the Jordan Peele. Did you see Us, Rocco?
No, I saw the first one.
Get Out.
Yes.
I saw Us with you and Casey at Rosedale, and left when it was almost over because I was so sick of how stupid it was. I was so sick of it. I was so sick of the anxiety of waiting to be scared because it never happened. It never happened. Never happened. I think there were 10 minutes left, and I got up and I left.
Left, you did. You said, I can't take it anymore.
I can't take the anticipation of going to be scared when I haven't been yet and I want to leave.
Anyway, she's dating, you know, Jack's grandson, but it's only been a month. So I would call it a lightly string attached romance.
Thank you. Look at the time.
All right, should we go? Mm-hmm. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Julia, happy Thursday.
Yes.
Everyone here is a fan of the show CBS Sunday Morning.
Yes.
Yes. And there's a new interview that's going to be on this Sunday morning with singer-songwriter Christopher Cross, known for his songs like Ride Like the Wind and Sailing, and he's opening up about his battle with COVID-19, calling the experience the darkest days of his life. He said he was paralyzed in an intensive care for 10 days, and he said he was diagnosed with COVID-19 after a trip to Mexico City. He and his girlfriend both tested positive and were sick for about 3 weeks. He said he felt good enough to go to the store in April, and when he got home, he said his legs gave out. And then he was diagnosed with something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which caused his body to attack his nerves. Mm. His doctors say that they believe that it was caused by his positive COVID-19 diagnosis.
Who is this we're talking about?
Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross. He was supposed to play Treasure Island last March. I don't know if he did or not.
Oh, this
probably
is...
didn't.
But mm-hmm. I would have liked to... I do like
this syndrome that he's talking about. I think that's what Burton, the guy who invented the snowboards, passed away from. The syndrome. It wasn't COVID related because he had it for many years, but wow.
Yeah, he said it was the worst 10 days of his life. He added that he couldn't walk, he could barely move, and he said it was just really dark times. And now he's explaining why he's coming forward with his story and sharing it on CBS Sunday Morning. He said, I'm not a big celebrity, but it's important for people to know that you can get the disease. And he said, I felt like it was an obligation to share with people that this is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that is a thing when people say, oh, this is just a hoax.
Yeah.
Why would the whole world and the whole economy, no capitalist or a dictator nobody ever wants to shut down the economy. I mean, it's you can't make that up.
No,
so I never understand that standpoint. It's like, how is everybody in on it then?
Yeah.
We're all going along with this suffering for the hoax.
Right. So Christopher Cross also adds, you know, and he's speaking to the fact that he thought he was doing okay, and then he was dealing with other complications as a result of COVID-19, or that's what his doctors think. He said, my walking's affected. My speech at times can be affected. He said, memory is a big deal, too. Neurologically, he said, I'm kind of foggy. He's not on medication, but he said that he's not sure what his prognosis is really going to be after this.
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah. Now I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez. We don't want to get it. Wear your mask. Well,
yes, yep. Wear your mask. And if you want to watch a full interview with Christopher Cross, it's on CBS Sunday Morning.
And I did look it up. His show did get rescheduled for next year. So let's see if it happens.
All right. Well, let's hope that he feels well enough that he and that we're in a place where we can have some live music experiences. Elton John and his ex-wife have resolved a legal dispute.
So he's paid her.
The Hollywood Speak, yes. Elton John probably has paid his ex-wife, who sued Elton John over the summer, claiming that he had broken the terms of their divorce deal by discussing details of their marriage together in his autobiography, Rocket Man. She demanded an injunction as well as hefty damages. But for now, the couple has settled the matter.
What do you think? $100,000? What does Elton write to her to make her go away for good now?
$1 million.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Julia.
Really? Okay.
$100,000 is nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like how much he spends on Gucci tracksuits and camping out in the backyard with his kids.
Okay.
Here's a new project that might interest you. This is going to be a Chippendales drama set in the 80s, starring Dev Patel. And this movie's called Chippendales. It's going to follow this true story of a guy named Steve Banjery. He's played by Dev Patel. He's an Indian immigrant who acquires the L.A. club Dynasty 2, transforms it into a hotspot. He does this with the help of Paul Snyder and his Playboy girlfriend, Dorothy Stratton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. Is this a true story, Holly?
Yes. So this
sounds good.
This is a true story, and then Treasure soon turns to tragedy. I'm reading the press release.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not a spoiler or anything, Paul Snyder murdered Dorothy Stratton and then took his own life. And then it's the subsequent legal battles after those events happened.
Yeah. This is the movie made Star with 80. Eric Roberts, Julia Roberts' brother.
That's right.
And Muriel Hemingway. Hemingway.
And he was in the studio with us like 3 years ago, Eric Roberts. Remember that?
Yeah. No, that was truly a tragic. Horrible.
Yeah.
You couldn't believe it. It was like something made up, that story.
Yeah.
When it happened.
Yeah. Star 80, that Bob Fosse movie.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw that play out in, because that kind of was the end of their marriage or
something. Fosse.
Or it was the beginning of his depression or something, because he was on such a high and then that movie got just trashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob Fosse made Star 80. I want to say that was his last movie because he had just made All That Jazz with Roy Scheider, kind of based off of his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And then All That Jazz.
Yes. So,
all right. Well, that story came full circle, and we're here for the Chippendales. We're excited for that future movie.
Wonderful. Now, you guys were just talking about The Last Duel, the movie by Ridley Scott with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Well, they just wrapped filming that, and now the two are teaming up for Omaze for a charity event that will raise money for the Eastern Congo Initiative and water.org. This is something that we can all bid on, a chance to have a lunch date in Los Angeles with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Well, that would be
something.
Wonder what the scheduling for that would look like.
But wouldn't it be fun?
I'm not going to enter Omaze on this Julia. No.
I think we'd have fun,
Lori. You go ahead. I've done it for Dolly. I've done it for a couple of George Clooney. But I'm going to skip. I'm going to pass on this one.
All expenses paid if you win.
I know.
Raising money for a good charity.
Well, all right. You've convinced me it's worth a chance.
I mean, we would have so much fun with them.
Oh, if we won.
Oh, my God. We would have so much. They would have so much fun with us.
Right. Thank you.
Let's just put it that way. They might need us in their life at some point.
When I looked at Ben, and did they do a little video or an Insta story or something or a video about this today?
Yeah, they put out a video on social media.
Ben looks like he's been eating nothing but broiled chicken breasts and broccoli for 6 weeks. He's kind of got that.
He's dating a much younger woman.
No. But this is something like this is he's done some kind of had a trainer.
Sure.
Maybe did some glycolic peels. He's
You're right, Lori. I was going to say Ben Affleck in this video with Matt Damon. It looks like he's been getting injectables in all the right places.
And he's got a leanness and a tautness, which only tuna and chicken and vegetables and discipline and working out can give your continence.
Uh-huh. I feel like he got a chin tuck. I feel like he had a little something.
How could he do that? He's been filming.
I don't know. Well, you know, science.
When you lose weight,
yeah,
your face can take different shapes.
That's true.
Your face can take a different shape.
Yeah, he's tight.
He's just looking tight. Chicken breast tight, if you know what I'm saying.
The showgirls diet. Brown rice and vegetables
Affleck. You're so hungry, and then you just get used to it, and then go out and take big gulps of air to try and get full.
Oh, boy.
Smoke a cigarette.
Oh. And finally, Christian.
I'm going to have a snack.
Ben Affleck does smoke.
We have seen the photographs of Ben Affleck pulling down his mask outside, having a heater to relax.
I like that you call it a heater.
That is such a funny 40s word.
The heater, the Ben Affleck diet, heaters and some donkeys.
Yeah.
And then you go to town. So.
And your theory is?
Okay, we actually didn't even really do theories. We break all the rules when you leave.
It wasn't theory this week.
Okay, I couldn't.
Today is Thursday. I was here last Thursday.
Good. All right, because I'm thinking I forgot
you're thinking
to do
the
this.
Study of
I'm thinking I got. I'm okay.
We did skip the study of I think.
Yeah, it's all right. Do whatever you want.
We do.
We talked about Hocus Pocus a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And we came up with my Slice Girl tennis name.
Yeah.
Did you have one? Did you come up with one?
I'm going to confirm it tonight.
Okay.
I'm zoning in on something to confirm it because I've got a match tonight.
Okay.
And I need a name, you know.
Like a handle, like a Twitter handle?
No, it's something girls, you know, Sassy Slice or, you know.
Is the last name Slice? Is your team Slice?
Yeah. And everybody came up with
why not Tasty Slice?
Well, that sounds for tennis.
Yeah.
Here's what I had. Thirsty Slice, Saucy, Minty, Spicy Slice, Pepper Slice, Ballsy, Sassy, Chatty, Flirty. Those were some of the names people called in on.
Yeah. Now you just go ahead and you pick.
Oh, okay. Look at how you gloss over. That's how I feel sometimes when Bella Hadid's name comes up. I just gloss over.
But it was the Jack Nicholson thing that made it be interesting.
And I'm going to take it full circle because Jack Nicholson's son's name was Duke, and our grandfather Duke on Monday would have celebrated his 120th birthday.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, Grandpa Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have, like, in my dad's house, my dad had a pool table, and he had built this house after my parents split. That took forever. But in the basement, he had this old Chicago brick, I remember, because we all worked on the house.
Yeah.
And one of the walls where the pool table was, it was tight. So we had this mini pool cue that we called the Duke, because my grandpa was so short. Rocco, you would have died. So this, you know, our pool cue, the short thing, this is the Duke.
Get out the Duke.
And
I'm backed in the corner
here. I wanted to name a kid Duke. You know, and I had a Grandpa Louie. I had all these great names. It's a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And the only kid whose name I've heard besides now Jack Nicholson's son is Rancic. Juliana Rancic has
named her son,
Duke.
And I mean, Duke is his real name was Duilio. So, you know, they did the old American
Duilio?
Yeah. Duilio, that good Italian name.
And say what his brother's name was.
And his brother was Segundo, which literally means second. And his name was Sully.
And my sister
everybody,
named,
you know, Duke, because Sully. They came over they came here when they were like, what, 8 and 10 or something like that?
1911.
So the you know, everyone wants to get Americanized right away. And
I'm sure this happens probably in everybody's families, but it's kind of fun. Those were some great names. All right. So what kind of a theory do we have?
Well, the theory is, okay, everybody sleeps, but, you know, have you ever wondered why people, like, why do they say you need 8 hours of sleep, blah, blah, blah? You know, because that's always like the thing.
Some people say I'm good with four.
Four, right. But really, why does the human body, why do babies sleep so much? So they've studied sleep, but there's endless grants for sleep studies. That's my theory.
Okay. So, I love that you just said this. If people are looking for a new side gig.
That's right. Everyone sleeps. If sleep is as important as food. And okay. It doesn't matter if you're a person or mammal, animal, whatever. While we sleep, everyone sleeps. And while we sleep, our brains are not resting. And so basically, that's why they always say to you, don't ever wake up a baby when they're in a deep, hard sleep.
Oh, why would you?
Well, exactly. That sounds like a duh. But important work is being done while they're sleeping, Julia.
Of course.
And while we sleep, our brains are working tirelessly from birth to old age to just rejuvenate
yourself
and do all this sort of thing. So that's why, of course, if you know someone in your family or you're with somebody who isn't a sleeper and in this time has not been sleeping, you have noticed how extremely crabby, cranky, grouchy, whatever word, and it's getting worse and worse. I mean, this is why the lack of sleep is a torture. It's a torture thing.
I felt this with you sometimes.
I wasn't torturing you.
You were. The Grocco, Lori hits her pillow, hits the bed, and she's out.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
I have to warm up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I warm up to a lot of things.
It's excellent medicine, and our brain is just doing a lot of good stuff while we're all sleeping away. So okay. That's one reason, though, why babies need so much sleep, because all their little everything's,
Your brain's growing and working.
And that's why babies sleep so much.
Did we not know this before right now?
Julia.
You're just saying the theory is there's endless money available for grants.
For about sleeping, but they know that the brain is always, always working and the newborns are sleeping, if you're lucky, 50% of the time.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And if you don't get enough sleep and you know some of those people, look how crabby they are.
Oh, I can't. But some people say they just don't need it. And I know people who literally... My friend's husband does not get much sleep at all, and he's fine. He's not crabby.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
His circadian
rhythm, he's a rare jewel in Mother Nature.
There you... I love it, Lori.
Okay.
It's a rare find in the field.
Okay, this is a cross between a duh and a theory, but it was published in a pretty good journal, the Journal of Environmental Psychology. So I'm not just thinking around.
You had time over the weekend.
I had a long plane ride, even though it was early. Because isn't it not fair to say that we've never maybe watched more television in our life than in the time of Corona?
That is a very fair statement. And what scares me more is how much time people spend on social media during the time of Corona.
It's all screen time. And it's going to get worse now that we're going to be indoors for
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have something for people who are worried about all the screen time.
Oh, please.
All the TV watching. This study was... just coincidental in this time. But basically what they found is that if you watch nature shows on TV or on your laptop or whatever you're doing it on nature, whether it's animal, it's whatever kind of nature you like to look at, if it's fishing.
Sure. Hunting.
I don't know how many hunting shows there are, Julia, for people to watch, but I'm thinking of like real nature documentaries where you're following penguins and whales and animals.
Oh, really? To that level? Not a story about the making of the national parks?
No, okay. A nature. But here's what it is. Because the isolation is very real. The University of Exeter found that watching nature programming will help people reduce feelings of being bored and sad.
Can you just play the sounds?
No.
Do you have to see the scenery?
Yeah, you gotta watch it. But it's just a thing to, like, alternative. Like, if your kids are getting bored with everything that's going on, maybe you put in, you know, like some kind of a nature that you find something of that
yes.
thing that it's kind of interesting. It provokes questions, and you go, I didn't know that. So. Anyway, that's what the University of Exeter is saying.
Okay, can I interrupt for a second? Because I did watch something and I haven't finished it yet. And I don't know if it was on National Geographic. I think it was. It's the story behind the making of the national parks. And there's
to me sounds like a nature documentary.
It's so interesting. And it'd be so great for kids, too, because it's fascinating about why they even came to be and who used to work on them. And it's really fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So I'm not done yet, but I like.
Well, that is a perfect example of watching a thing, and you will not be bored, nor will you feel sad or that you've wasted time or anything. It's fulfilling in a way.
And Mutual of Omaha used to have, before the Wide Wide World of Disney on Sunday nights, there used to be a nature show.
Yes, what was that
called? It was by the Mutual of Omaha.
Presented, and there would be
Wild Kingdom?
It was Wild Animal Kingdom. Yes.
With,
and, what was the name of the host? Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins.
Yes. Yeah. Calming, and everyone would be engaged.
When Jack Hanna would be on, you know, and he only just retired this year, but he would be on The Tonight Show. He was Access Hollywood. There is something about like seeing the animals.
And our zoos are open.
Yes, they are.
You just have to make reservations.
Yeah. So anyway,
there's a lot of, if you're on Disney Plus, you know, for the Zach Sobiech show or for Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
There's a ton of nature
documentaries.
Are there really? Do you guys, does Bruno like them?
We tried to, especially when COVID first hit and the teachers didn't really know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. We were just like, hey, take an hour and watch something that you'll learn something from.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of that nature stuff on
Disney Plus. It can help with boredom and sadness.
Let's do that.
And prove so it. Can the new app that I downloaded, Crosswords, Puzzles.
I thought you were into Sudoku.
It's on there too.
Okay. Yeah. What happened to Tinder? I thought that was your favorite.
No,
time
I'm trying
waster.
To use my time for good.
Oh, Julia, that is
I'm
good.
Using my brain. Because you wouldn't believe the words I've learned.
All right, but Tinder, you're learning new words. You're coming up with descriptive ways of talking. No, Julia. I got back in town just in time. My gosh, what's going on here? All right, listen, we'll be
the
right back.
The world's falling apart where you were gone.
Put your arms around me, baby. Hey, Julia. I would like you to weigh in on Stevie Nicks saying about Botox that it makes you look like you're in a satanic cult. Oh, there you are. Satan's angry daughter.
Wow.
She did not go to a good doctor.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
I've never felt that way about it.
Me either.
Wow.
Anyway, you know.
This is all from this long. I printed this interview out. I've never read it.
You didn't.
It's too many words.
Yeah.
Well, you know, words sometimes just get a little blurry, and I don't have. I mean, to read all the damn books for this show and all the other stuff, I'm like,
How about how hot did Jennifer Lopez and Maluma look on the cover of Billboard? Holly posted that today for us.
Or
Rocco.
Yeah.
Who's ever doing that? I mean, oh my gosh.
It's Holly. It's our Holly.
I would like those two to be in the movie together. Maluma and J-Lo. He's only 26, but they fit together. They look like they fit together.
They look good, don't they?
Probably because she looks so great.
She does look great.
Oh my God. I just hated that she dates Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Why can't I be happy for them?
Lori, I have been...
Your secondhand dislike has
rubbed off on you. Rocco, I can't stand A-Rod.
Most sports fans don't like him.
Yeah, I can't stand him. But anyhow, she's with him. Let me tell you something kind of... You know how Tina Turner had a signature style and it's kind
of... Her musical got nominated. There were only three.
Yeah, I know.
Eligible and they all got nominated.
I was listening when Holly said that.
Okay.
Thank you for the remind.
Okay.
It was just on this program, very program, this hour.
Okay.
We haven't heard that. So she is discussing the reissue of her memoir, That's My Life. Now, Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It, Tina Turner? And if...
So they're reissuing it because people are interested?
Yeah. And a lot of
did
books...
Did she add to it?
Well, here's what she said.
Okay.
She said she did do an interview. She did a rare... She never does interviews. So she said she never liked her famous legs. Growing up, she always thought they were too long and too skinny. And her signature style is always wearing a mini skirt or dress or something with high pump shoes. Mm-hmm. And she had beautiful legs. And she said in preparing for her shows, she always did her own makeup. And she'd always finish it off with her signature bright red lipstick. That was her look. Mm-hmm. She also styled her own wigs. Now, I famously, when I lived in Hawaii in 1984 and 5 for 15 months... had my hair cut short.
So it looked like Tina Turner's?
On top. and spiked it up, Rocco. If you can,
what?
Lori, just do it.
Because she had kind of a rooster wig.
From What's Love Got to Do with It, you know? And I was Tina Turner one Halloween, but my wig didn't look like it at all. But I'm going to bring in this classic.
Yeah.
I'm a little fuller.
Right.
And I'm roller skating. The picture that I have is on my way back from Hawaii. My sister lived in Santa Cruz, California. My dad came out there. My two brothers motorcycled out to Santa Cruz.
Oh, my gosh.
We went. My dad was so mad at my sister because she wouldn't give up her bed.
To her dad? Him.
Yeah.
Well, I agree
with your
dad. She
was living with a man at the time who wouldn't, and she didn't want to ask him. So we're all staying in this guy's place. But I agree with you. I can't tell you what a scene it was. My dad was having a hissy attack.
Oh, I believe it. Why didn't he get a hotel?
I don't know. But we went to San Francisco, my sister and I. And you know the park that overlooks, what's the famous park right in San Francisco?
The Presidio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we rented roller skates. I have a picture of me turning around, and I had on a lovely pair of jeans. This is pre stirrup. Uh-huh. But they were a slim leg. They could have been baggy, but I was chubby.
Right.
And then I had on this kind of
oversized sweatshirt.
No, it was a kind of a fun print Hawaiian shirt that I loved, and I don't know where it went, but I had it forever. And then a lovely knit red sweater vest.
Oh, and, we were the worst. The 80s were the worst fashion.
And I'm just turning around, and my sister's taking a picture. Like, Jules, turn around. And I turn around, and I'm like, had this smirk on, but I had that hair.
Yeah.
That good old hair.
I can practically see it.
You've seen the picture before, and I think you went,
I'm getting the Three's Company visualization, too.
Not Three, Natalie Fexley.
Yeah.
But I really had the Tina hair, and I would just work it and rub my roots, and it would stand up.
And then it would be kind of a shag then down below.
Yeah.
She looked good in it, but you did not.
Oh, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Did you say you were Natalie from Facts of Life?
Oh, I was
Tina
called
Turner?
Natalie. Lori,
No. I was thinking.
I was called Natalie when I waited on some people. I worked at a restaurant in Hawaii.
No, I didn't call her Natalie. Okay. She called herself Natalie.
I always felt like you were more of a Margie Post in the 80s.
I know that. I worked into that, and I was called that on an airplane once.
Yes, you were.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, finally, I'm being called Natalie.
Right. Right.
But anywho, it was a transition year that but this picture is so classic, and I just remember I loved that hair.
No, anyone who had to be like, you know, if you wore 80s fashion, we got the most screwed on the fashion.
But I loved it. I didn't care. Oh,
we didn't care, but I mean, oversized. And I mean,
I loved it.
Oh, the bright colors.
Oh, I loved it.
The low slung, you know,
I loved that. The
I was so happy when like the bodycon, the 90s came, and I liked the 70s with some of that stuff, but the 80s was just tragic clothing.
That's because you didn't have boobs.
Maybe, Julia.
Because your silhouette was off balance.
Maybe. Yes, very much so. I can't drown in big boxy boobs to balance everything out.
Maybe that is it.
And then the belts and the shoulder pads.
It was perfect for my waistline.
I like the dynasty thing. Don't get me wrong. The glamour in the 80s, the punky stuff, that was all good. But I'm talking for daily wear, the mom jeans, the high-waisted, the stirrup pants.
I loved it.
The bulky sweaters.
Okay, so we were going to talk fashion today, so this is us indirectly talking about fashion, backing into it. You said it's all about the fringe.
I read September, October issue of Bazaar and Elle magazine. Fringe on the bag. You don't have to do it everywhere, but fringe belts, boots, shoes, a jacket, everything is fringe. You
mask,
have a splash
I
of fringe.
I've seen the mask with the fringe.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop.
All right. Thanks, Rocco. Everybody have a good night. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.